Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's The Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. In for Dan Patrick and the guys. Normally, we are on from 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific time, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time, and a little something called Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. So this is 3 hours later than normal, but happy to be with you here. And we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. I know LeVar's excited. We are under a half hour away from the opening tee off, I guess if you call that.
Are you sure?
At Augusta
National. The opening tee off?
Yeah, I guess.
Are we sure that it's just a half an hour?
Yeah, the opening tee off there at Augusta
National. Is that
what they
say? Like kickoff, the tee off?
Hey, you don't know that? You're not familiar with that? That's how they talk at Augusta National.
They're showing Tom Watson out here getting his warm up on, you know.
Yeah.
Tom Watson getting his little swing.
The opening tee off.
Yep. As we get set.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. You don't know the vernacular, all right? I'm trying to catch you up to speed. I'm trying to put you up on game.
I'm checking Matt Barry, you know, Jeff Lee, and all them, you know, all the people talking
Jeff
about.
Jeff Darlington. It's not that complicated to
No, it wasn't Darlington.
No, the,
it wasn't Darlington. Yeah, I'm talking about the people covering the event that I watch. Thank you very much.
What event is that?
I watch the Masters.
Yeah. Okay, well, Darlington's there as
Darlington was not on the screen that I was just watching, okay, or that I am watching. Okay. It was not him.
Why is Jeff Darlington there?
Huh? This actually is Jeff's first Masters, so he's pretty stoked about it. He's getting into some golf, which, you know, he's a big golf enthusiast. I'll put it this way. I've gotten to know Jeff over the years, good friends. He's a sneaky good golfer. He did play high school golf. So all you out there, if you play against Jeff, and he tries to act like he doesn't get to play very often or anything else, he's sneaky kind of good because he had like a good upbringing in playing golf. So do not buy whatever handicap he says he is.
Jeez.
So he's trying to hustle people.
Oh, I mean, look, everyone's trying to hustle a little bit, all right? I got my buddy down the street, Fasano. That guy's got like he's playing as like an 8. He's probably like an actual 6.
Yeah. So you're just surrounded by hustlers.
Oh, I'll air out everyone. That's the hard part with golf handicaps is, depending on the club you're at too, if there's a bunch of matches and gambling, then it's kind of baked in. Like, you know, guys are usually like 1 or 2 points probably higher than they should be on their handicap because they're factoring in for everyone else being the same. It's like kind of like the steroid era in baseball. It's well, everyone's doing it. If I'm not doing it, then I'm playing at a big disadvantage.
Oh, so be still my heart. Oh, the good old days, man. Just when you never knew, like, hey, what's that reliever doing over there? Oh, nothing. He's just on the gas like everybody else.
Looking like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Playing golf. Please. Get out of here.
I was just going to say, have you seen a picture of Brooks Koepka, LeVar, and do you find it offensive that people say he's as big as a linebacker?
I don't get offended by it, but I find it to be a tad bit comical for certain. He does not look like an NFL linebacker. He looks more like a snapper, maybe.
Maybe a long snapper.
Yeah, maybe a long snapper. He looks like a long snapper.
At 185 pounds, like, how many players in the NFL weigh under 185 pounds? Like Devontae Smith.
Not many.
And went straight to him. I mean, I know they call him the Slim Reaper, but
oh, he's a great player.
He could have put some mass on by now. He might be a little bit over 180, 185.
Mm. Like, I'm thinking about, like, there's not a lot of players that are under 180 pounds in the NFL. So, like, the fact that he's not only in the NFL but a linebacker at that weight, which was his
Who? Brooks Koepka is in the NFL playing linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, apparently. Dang.
People say, they're like, oh, he's built like a linebacker.
I
don't think you've seen an NFL linebacker.
They've never watched NFL football, that's all.
Right.
Yeah, they're too busy, you know, watching them greens and making fun of us. We have real greens. You guys have artificial turf.
By the way, you know what's a little bit offensive about golf is, like, LeVar is probably offended because, you know, he played linebacker. Like, he actually did this professionally at a really, really high level. And people are like, no, he's built like a linebacker. You're like, no, he's not, dude. He's not built like – what's worse is it's the only sport where people dress up like they're going to play when they go to watch.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Like, think about that. Like,
that's
no one's sitting on their houses on a Sunday that's in full pads and a helmet. Right. Watching a game, well, right? Or like you're sitting back in your basketball shoes and your jersey and mesh shorts watching an NBA game. Like,
you're right,
no one's going to NBA games that way.
You're right.
It's like going to a concert of some band that was hot. Like if you went to go see a Limp Bizkit show now, you know how many people probably dust off their old red New York Yankees hats and throw them on backwards to be some Fred Durst wannabe? And that's no knock on Limp Bizkit, okay? They did some amazing things.
They had a good run.
They had a hell of a run. But just the idea, I mean, they're still doing shows here and there because they make a bunch of money touring. But, like, you go to a golf, and it just, you don't even have to go to, like, a big-time golf event. You could go to, like, the Corn Ferry Tour. And
is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
That's like the minor league to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I remember that. Brady pulled that out of the holster.
What's that all mean?
But, like, if you go to that one, everybody's dressed up as if, like, the only thing they need is to get their clubs from the back of their car,
right,
and they could just go do what all these guys
are doing. What they are going to do.
Or someone may tag them in. It's like, oh, no, I pulled my calf. Like, here, I'll come tap you in. You just play with my clubs the rest of the time. There's a slight chance that may happen.
How many fans are going to NFL games with shoulder pads in their car? Hey, just in case. Like, you never know. Something could happen. Just in case they need me, I could be here. It's like, come on, man. Like, it should be just go have a good time. You don't have to dress all the garb and get dressed up and all that stuff.
Do they have alligators at Augusta?
No.
Crocodiles?
No. Nope. No, sir.
By the way,
they're not indigenous to Atlanta. Georgia. I mean,
some of those videos that go viral of those gators or crocodiles crawling around on the course in Florida, are those legit?
Oh, yeah, they're legit.
Have
you ever come
across
one?
Hell yeah.
Do you get nervous? Like, I saw the one that went and, like, kicked them back into the water. Then I saw the other one that ran away. Like, which one are you, Q? Are you the kick the gator back in the water?
I just mind my own business. If my ball's over near the gator, I'll check out to see if it's, like, sleeping or not. If it's sleeping, then I'll quickly hit my shot. If it looks like its eyes are open and it's a little aware of what's happening, I will probably just go ahead and donate that to the alligator
farm. Apollo Creed lost his arm.
Yeah, he did.
With that. So,
that wooden ass arm.
Yeah, I want no part of that.
What was his hand, actually?
Yeah. Was it Chubb's his hand?
It was his hand. Broke pieces off of his hand, man. They then broke the man's fingers off. Golly. They did my man. They did him wrong.
Well,
they did him wrong.
I mean, if you want to.
Why is he dying every movie, too, by the way? You ever notice that he dies in every movie?
Loses a limb, too. Predator.
Dang.
Happy Gilmore.
Dang.
It's not cool, man. It's not cool.
He did lose a limb in the. I just don't do it.
Yeah. But
shouts out to Carl Weathers.
If you want to lose potentially your marriage, just sign up for the NFL in Brazil.
Yeah, all right. Don't say that because we're going to San Paulo. don't say that at all.
Because week one, it has been announced that the Packers and Eagles, it will be the first Friday night in September as they will face off in Sao Paulo, Brazil, as the first ever NFL game in Brazil. I know Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, diehard Packers fan, he has already thrown his hand up in the air saying, I want to go to Brazil. I want to cover this Packers-Eagles game. But nonetheless, that's going to be the stage and going to be the scene coming up this September. Mm. Feels like there's going to be a lot of people that get in trouble there.
I don't think I don't think Lee's coming back if that's the case. So
tell the wife and kids I love them, but I ain't ever coming back.
Yeah, I'll cover the game. I'll cover a bunch of stuff.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, weren't we originally anticipating this being the Eagles versus the Browns?
Yeah, who was the guy on the podcast that ruined it for, oh, man.
Deshaun Watson?
No, he's ruined a lot of other things.
Oh, my God.
He's not doing a lot of podcasts, I wouldn't imagine. I forget who it was for the Browns, but yeah, he showed up out on podcast and said, yeah, we're playing the Eagles week one. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's the game it's going to be. And I wonder if the NFL heard that and said, well, you try and ruin our surprise, sucks for you. Or they realized maybe not a great idea to send Deshaun Watson out to Brazil for that game. Could be a problem. Yeah, it was Maurice Hurst who made the comment on that podcast. But it is going to be
Peter
the
King also had hinted at that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, he also said the Bears are going to keep Justin Fields, too. So
yeah, well, he said a lot of things. There's multiple people, I think, thought that. That being said, Packers fans, get excited, you know, playing in Sao Paulo. But that'll be a great game, great matchup. I do wonder, like, what other cities the NFL is still targeting, you know, to play some of these international games in. And then also how they handle, you know, what's going on? I mean, let's just be real with each one of those countries. I mean, right now there's a battle between, you know, the government there in Brazil and Elon Musk and censorship over X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I wonder how they go about, you know, handling some of what's happening in these other countries as they prepare for, you know, really presenting their game to the rest of the world. I mean, how they go about factoring that into the decision of selecting some of these cities.
I don't know about all of that, but I'd love nothing more than to visit Sao Paulo for this game. I like that very much.
Yeah.
I like to do that very much. Yes.
Now, do you like the fact that there's already a betting line on this game in Brazil? We got Eagles -1.5. Like, I would like to bet the over of Eagles -1.5 players that make it back on the plane to get back over to the States. Because I think
not
some
the
of those
point
guys,
total, but yeah. The player total.
Okay, some of those guys are going to be looking around going, you know what? Dollar goes a long way here. I'm good. Like, I still got my signing bonus. I'll figure things out. You guys go have fun, you know, wrecking your bodies for 18 weeks. I'm going to go enjoy my time here in Brazil. And would you, like, this is the other thing I wonder about. What are these teams going to feel like week two? Because I know it's a Friday, and they're going to go out there ahead of time to try and get acclimated to, you know, the time change and, you know, the life and the scene and all that stuff. But what are they going to look like week two when they come back and they've got to fly all the way back? And it's too early in the season to have your bye week after what some teams do when they play international games. I'm telling you right now, that's the move. The second that schedule comes out, all the experts out there, the sharps, if you will, are going to jump on the week two line and whoever Green Bay and Philly is playing. They're going to jump at that chance to try and fade them because they're going to be worried about the Brazilian hangover that they're dealing with that early in the season. You heard it here first. And that's how you break down week one
I'm
of an NFL
curious,
game.
I'm curious, like, what is their schedule? See, NBA, I had a lot of NBA friends. Their travel schedule is so relaxed. Like, they'll stay after the games. They get there. They just have to be there for, like, shoot-arounds and stuff like that. For the most part, they're just, you know, they're kind of on their own.
Yeah.
But the NFL, man, they be having you on such a tight time schedule that you have to find pockets of time to be a degenerate if that's your, you know, if that's how you're feeling, you know. So I'm curious, knowing that this is – that type of environment. And by the way, they played in Mexico. Mexico is that environment as well. I
Mexico wouldn't City's have known wild, that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been to Mexico several times to do some camps. And boy, I tell you, it was a very nice trip. It was very nice. It was muy very caliente. Nice. And so I'm just curious as to how they're going to manage these guys, because it will have that element where, you know, you don't want guys. You know, it's interesting. They went to Barcelona. They played him. I was telling the story because I interviewed Merrill Hodge the other week. He came on to the beach with a leopard print Speedo on. on that trip, and we were talking about it. But they played in Barcelona, Spain. And I was young. I was like 14 years old, but I wasn't too young to have eyes and to realize that there are some very, very beautiful people in Barcelona, Spain. So,
yep. So
I guess they've gone to unique places.
I feel like we're covering a lot of where the beautiful people are.
I would say this, though.
It's a legitimate concern for a lot of teams who see this early in their season. You know, preparing for the travel, there's the difference in climate and all that based on, you know, how hot it is, cold is that time of year. But the interesting thing is how, as far as sports performance goes, what's changed a lot is, you know, you talked about that NBA travel schedule. Oftentimes, because the games are so late, instead of trying to fly out that night, and this happens in hockey, happens in baseball, happens in a lot of other sports, they'll just stay over. And the hope and the desire is to try to get those players the most amount of rest following competition. And all the studies show that, you know, that's when the body obviously is mostly, you know, impacted, and as far as what gives them the best chance to recover, to make sure they're good for that next game, is staying overnight at that same place, not traveling, not getting a bad night's sleep, and then trying to fly out the next day. Even though it may impact, you know, that schedule for the next few days, it still is better off for that team recovering. So for football for the following week, or with baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever it is, staying overnight, getting good rest in that one spot, and then getting up and traveling the next day. That has typically been what a lot of teams, I think, have come to the conclusion of, at least of late, in regards to some of these international travels or the crazy travel schedules that they have.
I mean, some things are worth a poor start to the season or a week two letdown, and I would argue that this is one of them. This is worth it. You know, if you're going to go to Brazil and go enjoy your time in Brazil and stay over an extra night, probably going to impact the second game, but it's worth it. So congratulations to the Eagles and Packers that are going to be a part of that. And I wonder how many, because I also saw that they were, you know, logistically wondering, like, getting out of Green Bay, getting out of Wisconsin to fly to Brazil, like, how would they pull that off? I know Mark Murphy had said, you know, we're just trying to figure out if it makes sense. And the NFL just said, yeah, you'll figure it out, and we'll send you over there for week one to start out the season. So it'll be fun to have Friday Night Football, though. That'll be fun. NFL football on a Friday night. First time
you
in a long time.
You know what's fun? Watching all of these NFL prospects walk in and out of here. Olu just walked in and out.
What up, Olu?
Adisa, Isaac, he just walked in, and so they're doing construction on the building. It's looking really, really nice, very, very upgraded, like a place that you would want your kid to come play football, like over like Notre Dame or any of these other schools. But anyways, I digress. It's a lot of these guys coming in here right now, and they look really good. So if y'all happen to hear some noise in the background, just know I'm in the football offices at Penn State, and there are a lot of players that are walking in this office, because my normal place that I would go do the show is under construction, and us doing this later time slot. Everyone seems to be congregating in the area where I'm doing the show. Just a disclaimer for everyone out there, if you happen to hear some background noise, that's some all Americans walking in and out of this office that I'm in.
So, hey, we are
Penn State, baby.
It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Two pros and a cup of Joe filling in for Dan and the guys, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you. All right, so we are going to get the very latest. Several stories in the NFL, including some buzz at the top of the draft, and we'll get it with our NFL insider right here on FSR.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The original light beer, 1975, Miller Lite. Yeah, the original.
Yeah, 1975. Perfect companion for us grill masters across the United States. This past weekend, even Mother's Day, I'm treating myself while I'm treating my wife for Mother's Day. Out there cooking, and I've got my Miller Lite, my friend, right there with me. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. You can't debate it.
I would try it.
No, you can't. Taste as great as the barbecue you're making. The beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. It tastes like a beer. Less filling. Only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells great beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you. In for Dan and the guys here on FSR. So we are going to have a discussion about one team that's making life on themselves a little bit more difficult in the world of football. That'll be yours here in about 20 minutes from now. But here to make things easy on us is the one and only Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist at the MMQB. You can find him on Twitter or X at Albert Breer. AB, what's happening? Good morning to you.
What's up, Albert?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good. We're just now, Albert, could you be trusted? Like, if they pulled you aside and said, hey, thinking about sending you to Brazil for week one, could you be trusted to be a professional while out in Brazil covering Packers Eagles to kick off the season on a Friday night?
Well, I'm pretty good at juggling different things. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's like a relatively high percentage chance that I'll make it to the game on Friday night. Yeah.
So you at least get to the game. That would be the that would be the goal, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, I mean, although I've heard Uber rides down there can take you to weird places. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's I've heard.
Yeah, that's problematic.
What type of places are
Are you interested, Lamar?
You mean something a little strange for a little change, weird, or
So we were talking about how there's a report out that the Vikings have set up a private meeting with Jaden Daniels, and you know, now the Commanders are meeting with Drake May and JJ McCarthy, and they're also meeting with Jaden Daniels, and there's just like it feels like this is a lot of the run of the mill sort of stuff as we gear up for the draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. But is there a draft story out there, something that you've heard or you've got any sort of intel on that you look at and go, that's interesting, that could have a real impact near the top of the draft or even in the first round?
You know, I think the one thing that already has is the Giants at least creating the perception that they're in on the quarterbacks, right? Now, whether they are or not remains to be seen, but like they're doing everything you would do if you were going to take one. You know, and so that's, you know, they had McCarthy and May in at the beginning of March, which is incredibly, incredibly early to be doing a 30 visit. Those normally happen during April, like right around now. And they went and worked a few of the guys out privately. They showed up at the pro days. So, like, you can at least say the Giants have done all the things you would do if you were going to take one in the top 10. And you know, like that does two things. One, it prepares them if they are going to take one. But two, it also has created this perception that they're the team that you have to jump over to get one if you want the fourth one. So, You know, Minnesota, Vegas, Denver. Like, if one of those teams wants to go get the fourth quarterback, now there's just perception out there that they have to get over the Giants to go get that guy. Well, could that be because that's what the Giants want out there? And if the Giants want that out there, well, what would the effect be? The effect would be that would guarantee either Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison would fall into their lap at six. So, you know, like, I think that that's one of the interesting ones. I just think Denver's lurking. Like, I they've been kind of quiet about their quarterback evaluation and everything else. I just know this. Like, Sean Payton loved Patrick Mahomes 7 years ago and was very close to getting him, would have taken him 11th overall. They wound up with Marshawn Lattimore in that spot, so good player. But, you know, obviously things probably go a lot differently in New Orleans if, you know, Patrick Mahomes is on the roster and maybe Sean Payton's still there. And so does that linger with him? And if there is one of these guys that he really likes, does he get aggressive to go and get him? You know, right now they're starting quarterback Jared Stidham. I know, you know, Sean feels like he could go out and play a season with Jared Stidham if he needed to. I just, you know, there's a big part of me that wonders if they got another swing in them somewhere at that position.
What is the one thing you're keeping an eye on right now, given it's kind of that dead period before we actually get to the draft? Is there any potential trade, any potential signing, or something that could happen that would change the landscape of what the draft looks like coming up at the end of the month?
Yeah, I mean, I think the receivers, Brady, you know, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins. Now, like, those guys aren't on the block per se, but teams are going to call and see, you know, if either of those guys are available, you know. And I think in both those cases, you know, for those teams, there's like a big picture element. You know, they love the players, but, you know, what like if you pay T. Higgins at the top of the market, like then you're probably going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase more than you pay T. Higgins. And you've already got Joe Burrow in there, $55 million per. So are we talking about between the three of them? $110 million, $120 million per year. You know, and that's just in one phase of the game that you're investing that. You know, so can you do that if you're Cincinnati long-term? Or is it better to get a second-round pick for T. Higgins and then, you know, draft his replacement? You know, that's the question. Brandon Ayuk, obviously the Niners have a lot of mouths to feed, you know. They paid Fred Warner. They paid Nick Bosa. They paid Tre'Davious Ward. They paid Trent Williams. They paid Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. They paid Christian McCaffrey, you know. So, you know, if you're looking at it and, you know, like something's got to give over the next couple of years, would that something be, well, we've got a surplus at receiver right now. You know, we've got Deebo Samuel there. Kyle is really good at scouting and developing them. You know, is that where, you know, we, you know, wind up trying to save a little bit from a cash and cap standpoint? So, you know, those would be the guys I think, like, right now I would look at and say, if there's somebody that's going to be moved or talked about being moved in the next couple of weeks that could materially affect things in the draft, those would be the guys. You know, like, I think that those two guys, you know, again, they're not being shopped, but, you know, the Bengals and Niners are certainly going to get calls on them.
AB, can you put us up to speed on what's going on in Dallas? I mean, hearing about there's a possibility of a CeeDee Lamb holdout looming. Micah Parsons, they're complaining about him, and too many people would be glad to see him go. This sounds like horrible dysfunction if your two top players are in the media for things like this.
Well, it's Dallas, so, I mean, dysfunction just means that it's Thursday, right?
Dang.
Yeah, but I the way I look at this, I think it's similar to what we just talked about with Cincinnati, where there's like a contractual bottleneck coming, right? And the difference is that, you know, where the Bengals have one of those guys taken care of, the Cowboys have zero of their three, right? So it's Dak, it's CeeDee, it's Micah Parsons. And you can say we can wait for a year on Micah Parsons to pay him, but is he going to be okay with that, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe he won't be, you know, because his value is what it is right now. And Nick Bosa got $34 million a year last year. You know, does he want to strike while the iron's hot and push for a deal now? You know, obviously CeeDee Lamb already waited a year. And, you know, if you wait much longer, well, you know, Justin Jefferson could change the market at receiver. You know, and then how do you compensate Dak, you know, based on where the market went last year, where Joe is making $55 million a year now,
Do you go to 64? Do you go to 56 or 57 million? Or do you wait this one out? Like, there's a lot of big picture questions for the Cowboys there at those positions, and you know, it's a credit to them, like, that they've been able to identify and have guys like that homegrown on their roster. But you know, in some of these cases, waiting an extra year has sort of created this situation where now, how do you take care of all these guys at once? I think it's certainly going to be a talking point over the next, you know, couple months leading up to training camp.
He's Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox in for Dan Patrick and the guys here on FSR. Al, I want to ask you, because I know obviously you're in and around the area there, and I know you've been close to the organization for a long time and the Patriots. They're sitting at three.
Yep.
What is the feeling as far as what they do at that spot? Because if they don't love the separation between the second and third best quarterbacks potentially going at that point, is there a chance that that's a team that could trade back? Because it feels like they've got a lot to improve on the roster.
Yes. I think they could trade back. I think it's going to take a lot though. So what's a lot? You know, like if you look like, so the Niners spent three first round picks to move from 12 to 3 in 21. The Redskins did the same, moved three first round picks to go from 6 to 2 in 2012. So I think that's the starting point of any negotiation, especially for the teams that are coming from a little further down, like the Vikings, say at 11. Now the one thing the Vikings have that those other teams didn't have is they've got two first round picks this year. So they can offer, you know, the Patriots 11 and 23. You're going to have, you have certainty, you know where those picks are, and those guys are going to be on your roster this year, and then add them another first round pick next year. So do the Patriots think about that? And beyond just that, do the Patriots not only think about that, do they think about doing that, trading down and then trading back up? If they really say like JJ McCarthy, and you know, like they look at it and say, okay, we're going to move down, and now we're going to try to move back up to four or five. I think all of these things are in play with New England. And, you know, I think it's especially if you're them and you look at it and you have like you have May and McCarthy close. Like if you think those two guys, and they're such vastly different prospects, but like if you think that if you think there's merit to taking either guy, maybe you talk yourself into that, you know, where you trade down and back up. They're in a really interesting spot because I mean, we know Chicago's sticking at one and taking Caleb, and I'd say 99% the Commanders stick at two. I think it'll be Jaden. I'm not 99% on that part of it, but I'm almost certain they'll stay at two and take a quarterback. So, you know, being the first team, you know, in that upper group that's willing to move the pick could give you a lot of bargaining power.
Albert, you know, it's been a pretty soft, easy interview so far. I figured I'd just kind of throw you a curveball. Any thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the VP nomination with Robert F. Kennedy not going through, or
some
of the conspiracy theories? Anything you got for us there, Al?
You got any thoughts on UFOs or Area 51?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't Monday. Monday was a tough day for the flat earthers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, eclipse kind of throws a wrench
in. Not sure really how you justify the eclipse then, right?
I'm not sure how you would explain that if you're a flat earther. I mean, I don't know if Hollywood has like some sort of curtains or something like that they can put over the sun. So that would be my first thought, just you know, talking to what you guys were talking about there. But the Aaron Rodgers vice president presidential campaign didn't last very long. I will say that there might have been some Jets people that were quietly pleased to see it end, but I'm not sure that they would ever admit that.
I mean, you know,
and I would also say this: there were some people in Green Bay who were entertained by it.
Yeah.
It does feel like there's a portion of the media, whether you know they want to admit this or not, that is sort of rooting for the Rodgers experiment in New York to fail. Like it does feel like that there's kind of a slanted view of him, and whether it's his political beliefs.
Oh,
COVID
I think that
or whatnot.
Exists. Yeah. No. That absolutely exists, which is why I hate that everybody has to draw everything on political lines now. Like I'm just watching football, man. I don't need to like
Yeah, I don't need to relate everything to who's on the right or who's on the left when I'm watching a football game, you know, but that's what we've come to, I guess. And yeah. I don't want to turn this into a deeper conversation, but I guess we already have since I killed all the flat earthers about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, listen, it happens. But AB, we appreciate a few minutes of your time here on a Thursday morning. He is Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, also lead content strategist at the MMQB. Get him on X at Albert Breer. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, AB.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, it is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you. And right now we turn it over to Nick Cope for some breaking news out of the NFL.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
All right, guys, this comes from the Twitter account verified from O.J. Simpson. Apparently O.J. has passed away, according to a post made by his family on his verified Twitter account. It says, quote, on April 10th, which was yesterday, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, signed the Simpson family. Haven't had any media reports of his death yet, but this from OJ's personal verified Twitter account.
Yeah. I don't know how to
react to this.
It is a tricky one.
Was it known that he was battling with cancer?
I saw that somewhere that he was dealing with an illness, but I hadn't heard anything about it in some time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of obviously we know. Look, playing career, you know, one of the best ever, but then that sort of takes a step back when you consider all the stuff that happened afterwards, the double murder, and many people feeling like, yeah, he did it and got away with it, just kind of was able to kind of live and do his thing and play golf and play fantasy football. And we just sort of looked past that and just kind of almost, I don't want to say we accepted it. It just almost felt like, how is he able to do all of this with that in his past? And then you never want to see anybody pass away. It's sad for the family. It's sad for the people that had nothing to do with the incidents that took place after his career. But this is this is surprising, obviously, that this came out. And so,
yeah, I think the one thing that surprised me is when you go through what he went through post career, in regards to what he's accused of criminally, and I believe convicted of civilly, at least in the civil court of law, which are two different burdens of proof. But that being said, you know, the fact that he chose to be out in the open, you know, he chose to be out in the public eye, which, you know, you realize there's going to be a lot of criticism and a lot of people who, you know, based on the allegations, believed he was guilty, believe he got away with it. So a lot of obviously mixed emotions, I'm sure, for people out there who aren't really sure how to, you know, view O.J. Simpson, because it's hard to remove, you know, what his identity was built by, which was, you know, his football career, with obviously what occurred afterwards.
I mean, I still remember where I was when that trial was going on and it was announced that he was not guilty. Like, people, I mean, you cause, talk about an uproar in the country, like people feeling one way.
Divided the country.
Oh my gosh.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, during that time. But yeah, I mean, you know, people get old and they die.
That's okay.
OJ's out of here.
All right, there you go. All right. Well put here on
Hell of
Fox
a football
Sports
player.
Radio. Yeah, he was. He All definitely right, was. You know, and yeah. That'll be that.
Yeah.
And that's that. It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you in for DP and the guys. So coming up next here, we are going to tell you about one team in the world of football who did something that might have made things a little bit more difficult on themselves. That's yours here on FSR.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that? A myth. On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever. And the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to have a discussion about motivation in the NFL. Somebody's got an idea. Not sure it actually works, but we'll get into that for you coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. The breaking news that just came out a few minutes ago that we had here on the show. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox in for Dan Patrick and the guys. O.J. Simpson reportedly has passed away due to cancer at the age of 76. And so, you know, a lot of people sort of obviously surprising news, but you know, trying to figure out how to respond and react to that news with his track record and background and everything that comes along with it. And so, to give you a little peek behind the curtain on this show, Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, for two.
Can I read off what he just texted me?
Yeah,
he said no J for OJ.
Fake.
could have been connected to the past or even the present, I guess.
That is,
I don't get it.
You are a classy guy, guy there, Lee. But, so Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, we have joked with Lee, and trust me, we are going to get to a story about a team in football that made things more difficult on themselves, so stick around for that. Formatics, kids. But we joke with Lee because he's got an interesting life to where we call him the Big Lebowski, because he's the most relaxed, casual dude you'll ever meet. You know, likes to get after it a little bit. He also interacts with celebrities at an alarming rate and has intel on stuff that you can't possibly imagine. And he'll just throw it on you as kind of a side, oh, by the way. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, his dad was in Back to the Future. He was the drummer for Michael J. Fox's band. His dad designed certain sets at Universal Studios. He delivered pizzas or got pizzas delivered to him by Eva Mendes and... Like, there's just, like, all sorts of... Like, what was the one that you dropped on us recently that was surprising?
My friend who was the zookeeper at the Playboy Mansion.
Right. Like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, who not only... Like, there's a zookeeper at the Playboy Mansion, and Lee also is friends with her. So Lee walks into the studio after the news that O.J. Simpson had passed away, and we were talking just about the trial and everything that came along with it, and Lee just says, oh, yeah, I saw Kato Kaelin at the supermarket the other day. Like, you saw...
Really?
Yeah, I see him there all the time. I always give him the head nod.
Does he give you the head nod back?
Yeah, because I think he recognizes me because we've met a few times. And fellow
of course
he did. Fellow cheesehead.
So you guys have what, talked about Green Bay Packers?
We have, yeah.
Yeah. What's that like? Have you never just pulled him aside and said, hey, what really happened?
Yeah,
not me personally, no.
But it's just like, Lee, of all the people that would like have some sort of a...
an acquaintance relationship.
Why would that just
with
now
Cato
come
Kaler?
Up?
All right,
like, I don't understand that. Why does that come? I mean, I know why. It comes
yeah, I was
up,
just
but,
actually
I mean,
know
why.
I mean, why would exactly? you bring up that your acquaintances with Cato Kaelin unless you know this topic came to light?
And by the way, Lee does have a Cato Kaelin vibe. Like if they put him
he
on
does,
the stand,
like they could like be friends because they look alike.
Like he just walks right. in the studio and goes, like,
is
right,
his hair still long?
He'd be like, I don't know, man.
He's still got the same exact hair.
Like, if, like,
oh, not long, but he's got the same hair.
Can you imagine Lee though on the stand? I'm asking him questions. I don't know, man. I'm just hanging out. He's some Jimmy Buffett.
It's just like he just walks into the studio and drops these things. Like, oh, we dated a girl that was the zookeeper at the Playboy Mansion. Okay.
How do you guys think that the country, like, how do you think sports media is going to cover it? Like,
OJ
is it going to be, is it going to be focused on one thing, the other, or all of the above? Like, it's such a complex. That I mean, this is one of the more complex.
Is it that complex? I mean,
it's
kind of
complex.
Just,
can I take a
kinda
guess?
Kind of say he's complex. A Hall of Fame athlete, but
yeah.
true,
marred by controversy.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to go
but
ahead.
That's what makes it complex. Well, I mean, that's not simple.
I'm going to guess that social media is not going to be kind to him right now. That's what my guess will be. In
probably
fact,
a lot of similar comments to what Lee had next. You know,
yeah, Lee, you're like it's just it's so. Unfortunate that you would take that approach and make a comment like that on the air. But I just feel like that there's going to be a lot of comedians out there who are going to
get
the
dust off.
What does
the J mean?
What
is,
fresh
the,
material.
What is no
what
jail?
Is,
no jail.
Oh, no jail.
No jail
for
OJ.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. No jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you.
You yeah. could say no juice. You know,
I was thinking juice. I was thinking justice. I wasn't sure where it was at. I just didn't get it. But okay, maybe that's something I wasn't in on.
So.
Okay.
So again, O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76. A great loss for the fantasy football world. Because, I mean, nobody promoted fantasy football like O.J.
Just going back to that, I mean, after having those accusations and everything that transpired, like, you'd want to put yourself into the spotlight, you know, public's eye. I always found that mystifying.
I had a buddy who played golf. This wasn't that long afterwards, after the – and I remember it was one of my brother's friends, and he said, you know who showed up on the golf course? And it was like a public course. He goes, OJ. Like, he was in the group behind us. I was like, yeah, how'd you handle that? He goes, I didn't know how to handle that. I was just like, why is he golfing? Like, wouldn't you want to disappear? Like, just go away? Like you feel like he got one up on somebody, and he's out there on like a, you know – a three-par golf course trying to figure out get a swing right after all this stuff came out. So just a wild story. And yeah, that is the breaking news. O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76. And Lee Delap, our producer, will probably be at the funeral next to Cato Kaelin with a Vons grocery bag, apparently.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jessi Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.